almost a separate company. And I know that we have some senior Kaiser Permanente executives in the room, and I'm sure that some of you have heard most of this before, but really I have to emphasize, totally different company at its heart at so many different levels. We were not integrated in the Mid-Atlantic. Lots of careless, fragmented. We didn't even have the concept of accountability. We kind of totally put hospitals out there in the field and paid no attention to them. And we've gotten very, very far away from the medical home. What went wrong? In my shorthand analysis, aside from saying it was a totally different company, I would say we lost our way. We lost completely what our founding DNA was, the thing that was our founding animus was completely lost. I don't think it's anybody's fault per se. The interesting thing was, per my bottom bullet, that few of the people in that region had ever experienced themselves or ever been a part of one of the fully integrated Kaiser Permanente regions. They didn't know what it looked like. They didn't know what it felt like. It was like they had a manual, like Kaiser Permanente for dummies, but translated sort of from Russian or something, so it was always a little bit off as to what it was supposed to look like. And if you've never experienced it, it's very hard to understand what you really need to pull off that accountable care and that integrated care. So for one thing, it was clear to me that over the years, for probably many good reasons in the context at the moment, the region had drifted into feeling like its reason for being was to be an indemnity insurance company. And that is certainly not the nature of accountable care, and it's not the nature of Kaiser Permanente. But I do think it was thought to be the way to compete in the marketplace. Very absent, as I mentioned before, was a hospital strategy. Relatively smaller region in terms of Kaiser Permanente patient populations, 32 contracted hospitals for 500,000 members. And honestly, there's no way to manage that. There's no way to manage that care across 32 hospitals. And there wasn't a very mindful, systematic way of sitting down and saying, what do we want from our hospital relationships? Who should they be? What should we do for them as a result of having a relationship with them? What should they do for us? What should we expect from them as the result of having a partnership with us? No mindful strategy around that. We mentioned earlier in the day the possibilities, perhaps uplifting, perhaps frightening, of genomics. In this case, this was frightening. A foreign DNA plasmid was inserted into the KP genome, and it became sort of the belief that, I call it fragmented, they would call it choice, externalized care, was the highest value. And in fact, one of the things that's missed completely in that is that if you're a relatively smaller niche player in a market like KP is in the Mid-Atlantic, you don't have a lot of contracting negotiating power. So when you go to contract with all these external vendors, as you deliberately fragment your care, you don't have any pricing power, and you wind up spending a lot of money to provide this fragmented, externalized care that then doesn't drive towards a patient's feeling of people are caring for me and coordinating care for me. I put in low quality modes of entry, a predilection to pick up distressed assets. That actually has been a little bit of a marker in some of our other smaller regions as well. But I put it here because it's almost as if it was a clear breaking or inflection point in the history of Kaiser Permanente in the Mid-Atlantic region. In 1996, they acquired the Humana plan. And everybody who was around at that time dates every possible problem that occurred with Kaiser Permanente in the Mid-Atlantic states to the acquisition of Humana. And at first, I was a little irritated with the wallowing in the past kind of thing I thought I was hearing. And I was saying, come on, it's whatever, 15 years ago, get over it, kind of thing. And then I looked at a membership trajectory for the region from its inception in 1980 until this past year. And in fact, there is a clear inflection point in 1996 upon the acquisition of Humana. And I think this is the take in a bunch of covered lives with a pretty high risk profile. Do not carefully analyze that risk profile, and most importantly, don't prepare for it. And so in some respects, that's a mistake that Kaiser Permanente has made a couple of times over, and we're going to stop doing that, I'm sure. We picked up on it. But I guess the real failing in a company as well resourced as ours in many respects is that we didn't share intellectual firepower. We didn't share know-how. We didn't share those stories about what makes us us with people in the smaller regions. We didn't have that culture that was so, you know, we bleed Kaiser blue in California is kind of the terminology. And so we didn't transfer any of those folks. What did we have to do in turning it around? There was a big IT investment, not IT hardware, but IT software for population attribution and strict panel management, believe it or not. We weren't doing that in the Mid-Atlantic region, although we were doing it in California. Immediate consult transmission, referral, and scheduling to make sure we could coordinate the care for patients. Improved in-visit population care system so we could do in-reach and chronic conditions disease management in every visit. We systematically and mindfully redesigned and implemented a series of performance reporting measures and built a whole analytic shop to do that. We worked on our systems and processes of care, starting with access, because it's the thing that patients remark on first, quality, et cetera, hospital performance, expenses, pretty much in that order. We did have to invest some capital to get some rough comparability to the capabilities that we have in California. And finally, we did improve some of our capital stock in terms of bricks and mortar to make that a more attractive alternative for our members. Turning it around, that transfer of know-how and culture critically needed, we moved leaders from California. First time we've ever done that. I'm one of the very few people in Kaiser Permanente, there's just a handful of us who spent a long time in operations in one of the fully integrated regions and then has spent a lot of time in operations in a non-fully integrated region. A lot of emphasis on turning doctors into leaders because I'm a firm believer that you cannot improve care without the leadership of physicians. We put significant resources into that and really insisted that we have a seat at the table in terms of planning a strategy for the region. We had to have a clear sell job from everybody in leadership that actually internal care, for the most part, is going to be better than external fragmented care whose record doesn't show up in our electronic medical record. We had to go back and redo our hospital strategy, figure out how to own it, narrow down the number of hospitals we used, and really develop with our hospital partners what the parameters of partnership were. We had to put our physicians in there. And really importantly, I think, in any kind of a turnaround situation, you do have to focus on execution. Lots of people like to think big thoughts, but implementation has to be a core competency. I always have physician leader volunteers, people who want to be physician leaders, who are willing to dream up solutions, but there are fewer of them that are willing to roll up sleeves and really get into the weeds of implementation. And I don't think it can be understated or overstated really about how important it is to have an emphasis on implementation. And in turn, you have to teach people that it's okay to think big as long as you start small and move fast. Because as I said at the beginning, a perfect policy never implemented doesn't help improve anything for anybody. A real quick slide on value proposition or proof point of value proposition. This is a real shorthand way of me saying the stuff we've done in the last few years in Mid-Atlantic have worked. This is our NCQA National Health Plan ranking, a shorthand for quality and patient experience, and our actual medical services cost trend. I know some of the members of the first panel might say that that was just luck. That was based on what was happening in the rest of the world, but I can tell you we did all that on the left without raising costs, so I'm still going to take credit for it. And we're growing. You can see the difference between 8 years, 9 years on the left, and then post-affiliation, post-rededicating ourselves to integrated care, rededicating ourselves to the patient-centered medical home, rededicating ourselves to accountable care. Patients like it. So real critical lessons, those IT systems, if an ACO starts up and doesn't have what it needs to actually attribute populations and track that care, it's going to be a problem. The hospital partnership, I think, is the most important and problematic thing in the new world order. If ACOs work, hospital utilization should decline. So what's the new business model? What's the new margin generation technique for hospitals in the new world order? It can't be the old float a bond, build a bed tower, fill the beds in the bed tower, make a little margin, float another bond, build another bed tower, which is pretty much what I've seen. And I also think that you have to think about these hospital or exclusively contracted based physicians. I sometimes call it, you know, the anesthesiologist in the room. We have to talk about the anesthesiologist in the room. But this is, I'll use another example. Are there any anesthesiologists in the room? Maybe neonatologist is one. Think about a better system of coordinated care where you prevent preterm births. There'll be a lower NICU hospitalization rate. What do you do with all those exclusively contracted neonatologists? They have to be willing to be on board with the idea of that lower utilization in some cases is the way that things have to go. I do believe that in all this, physicians must believe they are practicing a better form of medicine, and the culture, the change of culture, the importance of that, and a steadfast, focused leadership that repeats the same important messages over and over again cannot be underestimated. Patient acceptance is really dependent on them feeling the value in the model. Access is the rising tide that floats all boats, so the first thing any ACO has to do is to make sure it has exquisitely timely access, and at every visit we have to strive for instilling patient confidence and exceptional experience, and really projecting we are coordinating that care for you. They've got to be able to tell the difference between an unintegrated system of care and an integrated one, or else that longer drive to the facility or that narrower network will feel more like a constraint instead of a boon. And as I like to shorthand it, you've got to be the place that patients want to come, or else you won't be the place that gets paid. That's the other part of the line that I didn't promise. But I say the other part. So anyway, a new ICO would be much like the 2009 edition of KP Mid-Atlantic. No real focused vision of what we want it to be. Few systems, little know-how, and poor counterproductive culture. But vision, systems, know-how, and culture all can be obtained, and actually fairly rapidly so, provided you're dedicated to creating and maintaining a sense of urgency. It does take some investment up front, dollars, IT, some capital, takes leadership, takes the hard work of implementation, and a relentless focus on the endpoints in care quality, patient experience, and cost efficiency. And I think my time is up. Thank you very much.
So a careful examination of your program will reveal that as Liz Fowler was the token female in the morning. I've made my case. I've also made my point that a pediatrician can be at least as funny as an economist. What I'd like to do is I'd like to pick up a bit where Bernadette left. And I'll just tell a quick story. About 10 years ago in Kaiser Permanente, we were trying to figure out what electronic medical record system to buy after having flunked several early attempts. I started doing road trips. And one of them was to Danville, Pennsylvania, which is not an easy place to get to from California. 5 hours to Washington, 2 hours or an hour and a half to Harrisburg, and then, as it happened, 2.5 hours along the Susquehanna River in a thunderstorm. But I finally got there and met that next morning with Bruce Hamry, who some of you know, wonderful physician leader. And we did the rounds and talked to physicians and nurses and everybody about the system they had there, which is the one we ultimately chose to buy. But about midway through the day, I realized I felt at home there. This is after 25 years as a physician at Kaiser Permanente. And 4 hours at Geisinger, I felt like I was home with my own colleague. And I tried to figure subsequently, you know, what that was about. The flip answer is, it was the culture. You know, the culture was the same there, and in many ways it is. But then what does that mean? So anytime you go and listen to a talk about, you know, whether ACOs are going to be successful or not, somebody's got a bullet point that says, well, and they have to have the right culture. But if you don't have the culture, you know, how do you get it? And like, what are the building